And secondly, practices are a pillar of the FWPO. By practices, I mean, of course, spiritual practices, especially the different forms of meditation. Spiritual practices have always been important in Buddhism. They've been important in Buddhism from the very beginning. And this fact is illustrated by quite a well-known passage in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. The Mahaparinibbana Sutta is, of course, the sutta dealing with the last days of the Buddha. It's a sutta from the Pali Canon. The sutta tells us that the Buddha has arrived at Vaishali. He's on his way to Kusinagara, where he will finally pass away. It seems that he spent the rainy season in Vaishali, and Ananda, of course, was with him. And towards the end of his stay in Vaishali, the Buddha asked Ananda to call together all of the monks in the locality. It seems that the Buddha knew that he did not have very much longer to live, and he wanted to give the monks his final advice, his final exhortation. So what does the Buddha say? What is his last message, at least to that particular group of monks, when Ananda has called them together? We can imagine them coming from their little wattle and daub huts, perhaps from the foot of trees, perhaps from caves, but all gathering in response to Ananda's summons. Perhaps they knew that the Buddha's end was very near, so they came all the more quickly, all the more eagerly, perhaps even all the more anxiously. We don't know whether they came in dozens or scores or even hundreds, but all those in the locality came. And when they'd come, when they'd gathered around him, when they'd sat down, when all was quiet, the Buddha addressed them. So what did he say? According to the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha said, "Monks, the principles, that is to say, the dhammas, which I have discovered and taught, should be well learned by you and practiced, developed and cultivated, so that this best life," the Pali word here is brahmacharya, "this brahmacharya, this best life, this exalted life, this spiritual life, as we may say, that the Buddha had taught, so that this best life should be enduring and last long for the benefit and happiness of men and gods." And which are those principles? They are as follows. And the Buddha proceeds to give a list. In fact, he gives a list of lists. And the list comprises, 1, the 4 foundations of mindfulness. 2, the 4 right exertions. 3, the 4 bases of psychic power. 4, the 5 spiritual faculties. 5, the 5 strengths. 6, the 7 factors of enlightenment. And 7, the noble eightfold path. So altogether, there are 37 different items. And later on, in the course of Buddhist history, these 37 items became collectively known as the 37 Bodhipaksha Dharmas, or principles that are wings of enlightenment, that is to say, that are aids to the attainment of enlightenment. So, what is it that we notice about these principles that, the Buddha says, should be practiced, developed, and cultivated by the monks, by his disciples? Well, what we notice is that they are all groups of practices. They are all things to be done. They are all groups of mental exercises, as we may call them. Some are forms of meditation. The Buddha, on that solemn occasion, does not say anything about doctrine. He doesn't even say anything about conditionality, not on that particular occasion. He speaks only of practices, only of spiritual practices. This suggests that practices are very important indeed. But why are they so important? Why does the Buddha apparently emphasize them so much? Why does the Buddha, on this occasion, on the eve of his departure from this earthly life, speak of the principles, the Dhammas, that he has taught and discovered simply in terms of practices? Well, practices, we may say, are important because mind is important. We may recall here that first verse of the Dhammapada, Manupubbangama Dhamma, mind is the first of things. So, these practices are important because mind is important. They're important because it is important to change the mind. It's important to change the mind from unskillful to skillful. Change it from impure to pure, from unenlightened to enlightenment. And practices, both those mentioned by the Buddha on that occasion and other practices are the means by which this change in and of the mind is brought about. They are the means by which the mind is transformed from the samsaric to the nirvanic mode. Not that practices in this sense are the only means, but they're the central means, the most direct means. And such practices are, of course, specific, concrete. You can't really practice just meditation or just mindfulness in a general sort of way. Not if you're a beginner. That is to say, someone who hasn't gained stream entry. You need specific methods. You need specific exercises, concrete things that you should do. Moreover, practices are something that you do regularly, that you do daily even, not just when you happen to feel like it. Some people will say that practices, even spiritual practices, are a form of mental or psychological conditioning. Well, of course they are. We need not be afraid of this word conditioning. But our minds are already conditioned. They're conditioned by our upbringing, conditioned by our education, conditioned by the work we do, conditioned by our environment, conditioned by our relations, our acquaintances, and sexual partners. They're conditioned by the newspapers we read and the TV programs we watch. They're conditioned by the different groups to which we belong. We are conditioned, our minds are conditioned in so many ways. And for the most part, they're conditioned in ways that are unskillful, impure, and samsaric. So spiritual practices are meant to undo that. Spiritual practices counteract negative mental conditioning by positive mental conditioning. As a result of spiritual practices, our negatively conditioned mind becomes a positively conditioned mind. And it's only a positively conditioned mind that can become what we may call an unconditioned mind. It's only a positively conditioned mind that is capable of gaining enlightenment. Positive conditioning is therefore important. Practices, spiritual practices, are therefore important. It is for this reason that in the FWBO we have many practices. Virtually all of the practices that we have in the FWBO are traditional Buddhist practices. In particular, we have the mindfulness of breathing and the development of universal loving kindness. We have the six element practice. We have various types of visualization. We also have the going for refuge and prostration practice. There is no need for me to describe any of these in detail. They're sufficiently well known, I think, to most of you. There are also the different sets of ethical precepts, the five precepts, the ten precepts, and so on. These two are practices. And of course, in traditional Buddhist societies, dana, or giving, is also a very important spiritual practice. Just giving. In the FWBO, I feel we do not as yet give sufficient attention to this particular practice, the practice of dana, generosity, giving. And particularly, perhaps, in the case of those working and earning out there in the world. So, practices are important. Spiritual practices are important. Practices are one of the pillars of the FWBO.